This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks on KQV with expert advice from CPA attorney and retirement and estate planning expert, Jim Lang, the best-selling author of Retire Secure and the Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. Now on the air and online worldwide at RetireSecure.com. Get ready to talk smart money.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm David Baer, here in the studio with Jim Lang, CPA, attorney, and author of two best-selling books, Retire Secure and The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. The topic of this week's show is life insurance. If you're thinking about purchasing permanent, not term contract guaranteed coverage, you should take action before year end. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners has changed the rules for how life insurance companies finance and carry reserves on their policy, resulting in substantial price increases from 8% to 15% for applications taken after January 1, 2013. Some companies have already increased their prices on these and other policies. In the studio to help explain the situation is Tom Hall, founder and president of Pittsburgh Brokerage Services, a firm that provides underwriting and technical assistance to financial professionals. With 35 years of experience in the industry, Tom's a member of both the Pittsburgh Estate Planning Council and the Pittsburgh Life Underwriters Association. He's a full-service insurance broker who works closely with the Lang Financial Group and a previous guest on this show. So stay tuned for an interesting and informative conversation. And with that, I'll say hello, Jim, and welcome, Tom.
Thank you. This is a time-sensitive show, and with Barack Obama winning the presidency for the next 4 years, and this is not going to be a political show, but I think one thing that's relatively clear is that tax rates are not going to go down or likely to go up. And when I say taxes, I'm actually talking about two types of taxes. One is income taxes, and the other is estate taxes. And I have long felt that they're the two best tax shelters in the country that are available are Roth IRA conversions and permanent life insurance. So I am trying to do the best I can informing listeners and readers and my own clients about both methods of reducing taxes. So, for example, this coming Saturday, we are actually having a workshop on Roth IRA conversion, something I haven't done usually, but right now I think it's very timely, and I want to do it while the tax rates are still lower and before the special Medicare surtax comes in. The other thing that I think is likely is that our current exemption amount for estate taxes of $5.2 million, and with even portability, $10.4 million, is scheduled to go down to $1 million at the beginning of the year. So we have this, and with President Obama, I don't think that we're going to see the $5.2 million with portability again. So now estate taxes becomes much more part of the equation than it was even just a couple days ago when we really didn't know. So I thought what I would do is bring on somebody who I consider one of the most knowledgeable life insurance experts in the industry. I have worked with, his name is Tom Hall. I have worked with him for probably over 10 years. He is both my personal life insurance expert, and I use him for life insurance for my clients. And I will also tell you that I am personally going ahead. In fact, when I found that out, I applied for $1 million of permanent life insurance for myself and $1 million of permanent life insurance for my wife, Cindy. And I did it through Tom's company, who I completely trust. So anyway, Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. So Tom, first of all, why is life insurance going to be going up so much, so quickly, and with such an impending, almost immediate deadline? What's going on there?
It applies only really to one product, and that product has become the most popular life insurance product for people I would say, over age 50 who are looking for coverage that will last their lifetime.
All right, so that's what you mean by permanent.
That is one type of permanent life insurance, and it's a pure death benefit play.
And is that sort of what they used to call whole life? Is that?
No, it's called universal life, no lapse guarantee, and it's a product that if you pay the premium, it's like term to 121. If you pay the premium and you contractually pay that premium every year, it's guaranteed, and the death benefit is guaranteed no matter what. The only thing that could go wrong is the solvency of the insurance carrier and not honoring those guarantees. And that's very unlikely, and it has never happened, that a carrier, even if they were insolvent, has not honored their contractual guarantees. So what has happened is it's a two-edged sword. Number one, interest rates are historically at their lowest point ever, and a lot of these policies are funded through long-term bonds. Mm-hmm. Now, long-term bonds, they were assuming 6% interest. Now you cannot assume 6% interest. So when they return equity to their shareholders, these insurance companies, they can't sustain. They lose money. So they're raising their rates because long-term bonds are going down. Second to that is the National Insurance Commissioners have come up with the Actuarial Guideline 38. Nobody needs to know that. I know that's really boring. But the bottom line is they're requiring insurance carriers to reserve more money to honor these contractual guarantees. It's a solvency issue, and they want to make sure that they're going to be there for the policyholders. And so with that, rates are going up the first of the year, and it varies by the carrier, 8 to 12%. And what we've been seeing lately, because of what Jim pointed out, is single people who are making large gifts because they feel the $5 million threshold is going down to a lower point are using life insurance on a single premium basis. Mm-hmm. Those rates are going up 20 to 25% on the no-lapse guaranteed products. And most of them already have gone up. So there's an opportunity in the next 3 months to save a substantial amount of money and lock in very attractive tax-free rates of return with the life insurance.
Well, that's actually the real reason why I'm having you on, Tom, because I actually see this as one of those opportunities that if anybody is interested in permanent life insurance, and we'll get much more into the details, that they should do this before year end. And you're saying actually some of these policies are already going up.
Right. I mean, there are certain carriers, if the policy isn't approved and paid for by 12/31, you're out of luck. Mm-hmm. And there are other carriers that have said they'll do it sometime in the beginning of next year. So it will vary. Our job, I have a large brokerage agency, and we have every general agency contract insurance companies out there. So it's our job. We find the best product and match it to
the
client.
Yes. Situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought I would mention to the readers, because I know Tom doesn't like to toot his own horn, but when he says he's a brokerage, that means that he can get insurance from virtually any life insurance company. And what he will do is, if somebody wants life insurance, rather than being a captive agent and you have to go to Prudential or John Hancock or wherever you happen to work, he can go to maybe 100 different companies, see which one is the best and the least expensive for you, and then would recommend the one that is the most favorable. So I almost always, well, not almost, I always recommend getting life insurance through a broker rather than going to a captive agent. The other thing that I like about Tom, I've been doing business with him a long time, is that he will always look out for the best interest of the client, not himself, and is actually takes great pride in A, getting the best deal for the client, and the other thing that he does that I can't understand how he does it, but he gets people that have certain health problems approved at even standard or even sometimes preferred. But anyway, Tom, why don't we, you mentioned permanent life insurance, and you started with universal life. So, and that, as I understand it, is a kind of a simple product. You pay so much money per year, every year, and then when the policy matures, as some of you life insurance folks like to say, when people die, the money comes to the beneficiary income tax free, and assuming it was set up properly legally, estate tax free. So that is on, let's say, one person. Is a second to die life insurance policy also part of this definition of permanent life insurance that is going to go up in price?
Yes. And second to die is a policy that covers usually a husband and wife, and the policy pays a death benefit at the second death. And it's designed to come in and usually pay estate taxes, and it's a way to lock in 6% to 7% if you're a standard risk, tax-free rate of return at average mortality, and you simply do not see 7% guaranteed tax-free rate of return. And with the, now that's income tax-free, and the way you design it and is that you make it estate tax-free, and after the election last night, the estate taxes most likely are going to come into play for many more individuals in the future.
Well, second to die happens to be one of my favorite policies, and I don't even know if you know this, Tom, but back in 1986, I was actually giving a workshop for insurance agents on the benefits of combining second to die life insurance with flexible estate planning. And the theory was is that if we created a pool of after-tax, income tax, estate tax-free money with second-to-die life insurance, that would give a lot more options for the IRA and the retirement plan, and these days for Roth IRAs. But one of the things that, and by the way, you mentioned 6 or 7%. The numbers that I got when I did my analysis, that might even be conservative on what in effect guaranteed rate of return would be on these policies. And the way I see it is if you actually die earlier, I don't want to say it's a great deal, but then it works out really well for the family.
You don't want that deal.
No, you don't want that deal. But but I guess the point is that for it to be much less than say 6 or 7%, people have to live almost into their 90s with some of the quotes that I was seeing.
Right. I'm using a 88 to 92 life expectancy because people are living longer and longer. And you're right. There are, you know, and we all know as we get older and we go to the funeral homes and we see our friends and we're in our 50s and 60s, and you look and you, oh, my goodness, and you value every day you have.
Well, you do. And by the way, I get it, I'm doing it myself, and I'm doing it A, for a death benefit, and B, for a good investment, and C, to save income taxes and estate taxes.
Do these kind of policies have any value in terms of an asset that you could leverage in some way?
That's a very that's a complicated question, but the answer is yes, usually. A lot of the policies that we have do have some cash value that is accessible. Some of them have cash value on if you liquidate them and terminate them, surrender them. And others, if you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s, I'll get back to another issue that Jim and I discuss a lot. You can do what you call life settle them, and if your life expectancy is less than normal, there are people out there who will come in and buy the policy, and that's called a life settlement viatical. But that's kind of rare. People do not want to do that, and I don't encourage that, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but because I would say do whatever you can to keep what you have. But one of the policies that we have now, and I'll encourage our listeners to consider this, take a look at it, is a life policy, no lapse guarantee, that you can access the death benefit tax-free, part of the death benefit on a monthly basis to pay your long-term care expenses. So if you can't do 2 out of 6 activities of daily living, they will come in and pay 1 to 4% of the face amount of the policy on a monthly basis, tax-free, to help you through the nursing home expenses. And 70% of people over age 65 will have in their lifetime a long-term care situation need. And I think we all sitting here realize that and know with our moms, our fathers, our aunts and uncles that that is a real problem. So this is a way to get tax-free dollars as opposed to going into your IRA and paying tax to cover these expenses. And it makes the policy a multi-purpose policy.
Right. Well,
and I mean, I cannot say enough how important this is, having two loved ones now in nursing homes.
Well, the other thing is I actually, this was actually several years ago, I thought so highly of this. It's not really technically a combination long-term care and life insurance. Technically, it's a life insurance with a rider. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I thought so highly of that, I actually liked it better than traditional long-term care. So we actually had a whole program on that. And if anybody is interested, they can both access the sound file of that program, and we actually have the transcript on our website. So if you go to paytaxeslater.com, again, that's www.paytaxeslater.com, and you click on Listen Now, and then you scroll down to, I think it's episode number 9 with Tom Hall, there's a full hour on that type of policy, which in the way I understand it, Tom, and correct me if I'm wrong, is let's say you get a $500,000 policy and you never get sick and you never need nursing home care and you die, then it pays the $500,000, right? All right, let's say you get sick and you need care and you need $100,000 worth of care. And then you get, so the insurance, you know, subject to the limitations, the insurance company would pay $100,000 worth of your care. And then if you die, then the death benefit becomes $400,000. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Example number 3 is, let's say you buy $500,000 policy. You need $600,000 worth of care. The insurance company will pick up the first $500,000. And then you're on the hook for the last $100,000.
And the $500,000 policy does stay in force for minimum death benefit, usually $10,000, because you want it to stay in force until death.
And that's tax-free. Tax-free.
And that's tax-free. Tax-free, tax-free, tax-free.
Meaning
can I say that enough?
Meaning income tax-free, estate tax-free, and PA inheritance tax-free.
And yes.
All right. All right. Now the other thing about this policy, if I remember right, and one of the reasons why we're kind of stressing this now is because as I understand it, the price on these policies are going up by January 1, 2013, or maybe not exactly that date, but they're rapidly going up.
And you couple that with the estate tax situation, the $5 million going to $1 million. And you have people who want to make sizable gifts, and it's recognized, given investment climate, that you're not going to get a 5 or 6% tax-free rate, guaranteed rate of return in any other vehicle. That right now, it's kind of like, I mean, I don't know, I mean, maybe this is a bad way, it's kind of like almost a fire sale. Because people are clamoring to they're taking closer and closer looks at this product.
Let's call it a window of opportunity.
and I will mention my role in this also, because it's not totally random that Tom is on the show. I consider myself a trusted advisor, and I have a lot of tools at my disposal, whether it be managed money, whether it would be Roth IRA conversion advice, estate planning advice. And what I like to do with clients is actually come up with an integrated retirement and estate plan, taking all their financial attributes into account, and then developing recommendations in many different areas. One of those areas very often is life insurance, but I don't think of myself as a life insurance guy, that if you either buy life insurance or you don't. I think of myself as a trusted advisor, with one tool being life insurance. And when I see and recognize a life insurance need and opportunity, Tom is the person that I bring in because I trust him and I feel that the clients will get a very fair shake with him.
Well, I'll tell you what, right there, why don't we take a quick break? When we return, Jim and Tom will continue the conversation. If you have a question or comment, call the KQV studios at 412-333-9385, and that's 412-333-9385.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
And welcome back to the Lang Money Hour. I'm David Baer, here with Jim Lang and Tom Hall.
Now, you and the audience don't get the benefit of hearing the comments that we make to each other during the break, but I'll take the liberty of telling Tom. He said, well, maybe a fire sale's a little bit too much, but that's what I really think it is. So I just thought that I would share that. And frankly, if you're talking about an 8 to 15% break on some of the policies and then 25 on, let's say, the very significant policies. By the way, this is the situation that I have where that might very well be appropriate. Right now, the exemption amount, that is the amount that you're allowed to die with without paying any federal transfer or estate tax, is $5.2 million. And then if you're married, it would be a total of $10.4 million. But on January 1, 2013, unless Congress acts, it's going to go down to $1 million. One of the things that a lot of people are doing is they're making very significant gifts of even more than $1 million, and it is our best thinking and the thinking of the people that I follow that those additional gifts will not come back in people's estates. So sometimes it is appropriate to make a very large gift, and then if you want to leverage the gift, that is, you want to guarantee that your beneficiary will receive much more than that, and you want it income tax free and estate tax free, that's where the life insurance comes in. So those are on the very large policies, but even just for the more, let's call it standard policies, saving between 8 and 15%, and this isn't just a one-time policy. The policies that Tom usually advocates and the one that I like tend to have the lowest premium and to have the highest death benefit. So what you're giving up there is the ability to get it paid up sooner, as in a whole life policy. So Tom, you and I have talked about a whole life policy, and I sent out, by the way, I actually sent out a letter to all the clients that I had that either purchased life insurance or who were interested, and I basically said, hey, if you want more or a different type, or if you were on the fence and you just didn't pull the trigger but you're still thinking about it, do it now before the price goes up. But Tom, can we talk for a minute about whole life? Because I got a comment from somebody that says, hey, I don't like whole life. Is this what you're talking about, and what is whole life, and how is this different?
Whole life is, I really like whole life, but I like whole life for people who are younger. It's a good cash accumulation vehicle. In other words, when you put a dollar in and you go every year for 20 years, you get a nice sustained 4% tax deferred rate of return. And a lot of people over the last 10 years who bought whole life are very, very happy people today. And they don't have to worry about some of the fluctuations in the stock market. Now, am I saying put all your money into whole life at younger ages? No. But I would say that it is an excellent vehicle. But when you talk about estate planning and you talk about, and usually you talk about estate planning when you're 50, 60, 70 years old, those are the times when you're looking for the lowest cost guaranteed coverage you could buy. You really don't care about cash value, usually. Sometimes you do, but usually you don't. And those are the policies that have been affected by this rate increase.
All right. And by the way, I'll go on record as saying that those are the type, that is, these permanent policies and not whole life, that are the favors that I use almost routinely in planning. Although sometimes, aren't there situations for younger people that would might maybe buy several term policies and maybe a small permanent policy?
I agree with that. I think the most important thing you can do when you have a couple kids, you're young, your family's getting, you know, they're teenagers, they're 5, 6 years old, whatever, is to have adequate coverage that's affordable. And you only need it for a certain period of years because you have other assets that are growing, your needs are strongest then, you want to take care of your family, then you buy what's affordable, but you buy enough. And that's where term insurance, I think, is a critical thing that all young couples starting out and even midlife need to look at. Make sure you have adequate coverage. It doesn't cost that much. It's less than your homeowner's policy. And chances are you probably have a greater probability of dying than having your home burned down. I mean, I'm a strong believer in it. I've seen it happen. I encourage people to really take the time. Take the time and do it, because it's something you don't really want to
right.
do.
Okay, but this is going up.
No, those rates are very, very low.
All right. So if the young slackers can slack off for a little longer, they don't have a January 1 deadline.
Right. They may want a bigger house, and that's more important.
Okay. I mean, yeah. All right. All right. So the deadlines, let's do a quick review of what is going up. All right. The permanent universal life insurance policy, which might be on one person of a couple if they're married, or just one person for a single, maybe a single father or a single mom, or perhaps somebody where their spouse is uninsurable. Is that right? That would be one example of the type of policy, universal life, that would have a significant increase in the premium
right.
on January 1.
They have what they call a secondary guarantee, which states that if you pay this premium, we guarantee the death benefit contractually by the assets of our company. Those are the ones that are going up because the commissioners are saying we want to make sure they're reserved for. But I want to make one other very important thing note to listeners. I do. I've been around a long time. I've seen
just 35 years.
But I've been around to see enough happen. And you do get older, and it sneaks up on you, and you have to really pay close attention to your existing life insurance policies. You do not want to get to the point when you're 83 years old that you look at it and you see it's falling apart. So I would encourage people at this time to take a look at what they have. Have your agent run in-force ledgers to see if you pay the current premium level, whether the death benefit is sustainable. And I do like contractual guarantees, because things happen in the future that nobody, like 20 years from now, it'll be totally different than it is today. I guarantee it. And just make sure that you're if they're offered a guarantee, take the guarantee. Right now, they don't want to give the guarantee. They're raising the price to give it to you.
All right, and by the way, when we are offering a second opinion and an insurance review, that not only talks about new policies, but that also includes a review of existing policies.
Very important.
And by the way, I will also tell our listeners that Tom has been invaluable in that area. He knows most of what you'll have off the top of his head. And he'll even know the problems with it before he opens it. So he has frankly saved the you know what of a whole bunch of our clients. All right, so that is one type of policy that is going up in price, which is a guaranteed universal life. And by the way, there's another use for it that I have recommended, and in fact, I'm sometimes shocked when I see this situation, but I have. So let's say you have a husband and wife situation, and let's even go the old-fashioned way when the husband was the wage earner, although I know that that's changing for a lot of couples now. But let's say the old style where the husband was the wage earner. He retired with a pension. And I see a lot of these guys taking a one-life pension, and then I say, well, what happens if something happens to you? And he says, well, you know, my wife can live on less money. And that scares the bejeevers out of me. So in that situation, I have often recommended getting some type of life insurance for the person who is getting the pension to protect the other spouse. Would a permanent guaranteed universal life policy that you can get more cheaply or less expensively now than after year end be appropriate for that situation?
We do that often. And to explain the concept a little bit, if you're retiring and you a life only benefit is on let's say the husband, mm-hmm. and he has the choice of $2,500 a month on his life only, which means that if he passes away 3 weeks later, it's gone and the surviving spouse has nothing. Or they could go with a $2,200 life and 100% survivorship benefit. And so it's less money, but they know if you die, your wife is taken care of. But what we see people doing, and it makes a lot of sense, is you take the difference at $200, and you're able to buy maybe $200,000, $300,000 death benefit. So if the husband is life only, he dies in 5 years, the wife has a $300,000 death benefit, and then she takes income off of that death benefit mm-hmm. to live her life. Why is that a really nice thing? Well, it creates an asset for the kids that they would with their pension benefit, which they wouldn't otherwise be able to have. It would all go away at the second death. So it creates an asset. It gives you something more. But you have to be insurable, and we have to do the analysis and make sure it makes sense, because it doesn't make sense for everybody. It depends on what the rates are that you're offered.
What are some of the factors of insurability?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, people often think, well, I have high blood pressure, I take medication. I have high cholesterol, I take you're fine. I had a stent put in 3 years ago. Guess what? We can get you standard insurance as long as your heart is okay. It's not if you take care of yourself, and we're happy that the blood's flowing. In other words, it's not sneaking up on you. It's something that we know you have. Diabetes, we can cover all, like Jim was saying before, it's pretty amazing. Insurance carriers have actuarial statistics on these things now. They know that if they know that oftentimes you can get standard insurance.
And the other thing that I've noticed is when you use that multiple companies, so you can look at different companies, you might sit. I'm thinking of one situation where a whole bunch of companies thought that this guy had a heart problem, and they rated him, and it came back very expensively. But one company thought he was fine. So we went with the one company that thought he was fine.
What we do is we informally show medical evidence to two, three, or four different carriers, and some of the underwriting directors have a different opinion on that ailment. And they feel, well, our experience is that
Different tables.
So that's why you do that.
So you're not really negotiating the price. You're actually bringing additional information that would cause them to have a more favorable rating, which in turn would reduce the price. But I guess sometimes people, particularly young people, think they can go to the internet and get the best deal, and that's just not really the case with life insurance, and particularly for life insurance for people who are, let's say, 50 and older. Is that fair?
Not to discredit that, and they're very nice people, but I think that dealing with somebody locally and somebody that knows your needs, somebody's willing to go the extra mile, somebody you look in the eyes, and you get to know that. I think to me that's invaluable. You have to find the right person, and there are a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, and what I actually like the idea of is that going to somebody, and this might sound a little bit self-serving, but going to somebody who has other means of being compensated than selling you a life insurance. In other words, if all you are is a life insurance retail agent, you know, you're kind of like a hammer and everybody's a nail. And there are a lot of situations that I work with, and you might not like this. Actually, you would, because you're an ethical guy, where life insurance isn't part of the equation because it's just not appropriate given where people are. What about people? I have a lot of clients who have, let's say, depression-era mentality, or they're relatively thrifty and they don't like to spend a lot of money, and they spend relatively little compared to what they own total. And they are interested in providing for their kids and their grandkids. But let's say that they're older. They're in their maybe late 60s, 70s, or even sometimes 80s. Isn't it too late for them to get life insurance? Or are they still in the game?
They're definitely in the game. 80s today is 65, 15 years ago. May I say that? I think that's
true. You're
making
a lot of people happy.
And people are living longer and longer. So, you're 80.
Including the producer, by the way. He's sitting there, he's sitting there with a big grin.
And he's only 35.
If you're a healthy 80-year-old, you have a good chance for 92, you know. And I know that's hard to believe, maybe for us older guys who've seen our parents. But we are living healthier today.
So, well, how do the insurance companies react when they get a policy for, or an application for somebody who is in the, let's say their 70s or their 80s? And are you doing a lot of these deals, or is this just a non-starter?
Obviously, the older you are, the more ailments you have, and the more conditions that you may have. So it's a work in progress sometimes to get people insured. But for the most part, we've been very successful in doing it. Even if one person is uninsurable and the other person is insurable, and you still get an incredibly good rate of return on the policy. I mean, one thing, and we talk about Social Security perhaps going away, and we've been doing a lot of this, where we have people who are 65, they have a nice pension, they say, well, I better apply for Social Security, and they get their Social Security check, and they go, well, I really, what am I going to do with this? Some people, believe it or not, and they say, well, my kid's never going to get this, and he's kind of paying for it, right? Aren't the kids paying for Social Security now for their parents? Isn't that the way it's working? And so I have two 65-year-olds, a 64 and a 65-year-old now. They get $24,000 a month. I mean a year, sorry. $2,000 a month when they're Social Security. How much life insurance could they buy with $24,000 to put it in trust for their kids and for their grandkids, knowing that when they die, their kids are going to be 55, 60. Mm-hmm. They may not be getting, but there is $2 million. $24,000 a year will buy a $2 million second-to-die death benefit in trust for your children and grandchildren. And you think about that, because you worry about the future, of our Social Security, Medicare, all that stuff. It's a wonderful thing if you want to take part of the Social Security check, and you get a guaranteed benefit for your kids. What a wonderful thing! And we've been people who are worried about those entitlements are seriously doing these things.
It's kind of another death benefit there. But at any rate, let's take time for one final break. And when we return, Jim and Tom will continue the conversation.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
Yeah, and I also want to mention that if anyone is interested in an estate plan with a life insurance component or one of the reviews that Tom is talking about, call Lang Financial at 521-2732. Ask for Alice, and I'll say welcome back, Jim and Tom.
Thank you. We are here literally the day after President Obama secured a second term, and the impact of that is likely to be higher tax rates, or at least as high as they are now, both in terms of income taxes and estate taxes. So the question is, what should listeners and readers do? And I have long been an advocate of Roth IRA conversions, which is one of the reasons we're having a Roth IRA conversion workshop actually this Saturday. And the other best, and probably even in a way, some ways better than Roth IRA conversion, best estate and retirement income tax-free, estate-free vehicle is life insurance. Since the rates on permanent life insurance are going up anywhere between 8% to 15%, and for some policies 25%, on January 1, 2013, I thought I would have Tom Hall, who is a life insurance expert and owns the owner of Pittsburgh Brokerage Services, come down and talk to us about life insurance. He's given us a lot of great information already. And by the way, if you have missed some of it, you can catch it again on Sunday, this Sunday.
At
9:05. And we are also, because this is so timely, we are making a huge effort to get the sound file of this and the transcript of this show on our website. Again, www.paytaxeslater.com, www.paytaxeslater.com. So people can listen or read it before year end, and hopefully do something before year end while you can still get the lower priced products or life insurance policies. So Tom, some of our clients and listeners have annuities that they might have purchased, whether it be a tax deferred annuity or a commercial annuity at some point in their lives. They might have bought a $5, $10, or sometimes $100, or even a couple $100,000 annuity. And I've never been an enormous fan of these types of products, and partly because for estate planning, they're kind of awkward because your heirs always have to pay the income tax on any growth, and it's almost always included in the estate of the person to die. What would your advice be, Tom, for somebody who has this type of investment product, isn't really tapping into it now, but then if they die with it, it's going to be subject to income tax on the growth and it will be included in their estate? What would you tell somebody who has this type of product?
The first thing I would say is, if you feel you're going to need that asset to support your lifestyle in some way, some fashion in the future, then maybe mindset, you may want to keep it and have it there as a safety valve. But in a lot of cases, and we review annuities all the time, that isn't the case. A lot of times people just let them build. And the main reason they do is they really do not want to tap into it and cause ordinary income. They take another asset that isn't taxable. Or sometimes they just let it build and they say, well, I'm leaving this for my kids. But little do they know that it's going to get hit by the income tax buzzsaw. Mm-hmm. It's going to get cut off.
And estate tax.
And estate tax. So what we often recommend is you take part of that annuity on an annual basis, and you can creatively buy a life insurance policy. And the life insurance policy can be owned outside your estate, so you can make it estate tax free. And you can usually at average life expectancy, and I know this is pretty amazing, you could double and oftentimes triple the amount of money that you end up leaving to your heirs by getting creative with utilizing the annuity in a different fashion. And I would encourage everybody, to take a look at perhaps doing this now while you're insurable and see if it makes any sense at all to take a portion of it and do something like this. And you can get really creative and buy a life policy with a long-term care rider. Mm-hmm. So you could take care of your long-term care on a tax-free basis. You could get so creative with these things. And oftentimes you just don't realize that those avenues are out there.
Yeah, and sometimes, by the way, creative can also just be simple, which is taking a certain amount per year, using it to buy life insurance that is held by a life insurance trust, and you're basically converting something that is growing taxable for both income tax purposes and estate tax purposes into something that is growing income tax-free and estate tax-free. So, I mean, it sounds like creative, but it's not like it's a huge act of genius. It's just kind of straightforward planning. And I don't know why Uncle Sam is willing to subsidize life insurance in terms of not making you pay income taxes on the proceeds, not making you pay income taxes on the growth, and assuming it's set up right outside of your estate, not making you pay either federal estate taxes or for Pennsylvania taxes, and Governor Corbett probably wouldn't be too happy about this, but have it be not subject to PA inheritance tax also.
Correct.
All right. So you are seeing this a lot with some of these tax-deferred annuity products.
We are. We do a review as you of the whole state, take a look at all the assets and try to maximize and optimize their plan.
So. All right. I should also mention that what I like to do as a trusted advisor is I like to combine many different opportunities. So, for example, one of the things I almost always look for clients is whether it makes sense to do a Roth IRA conversion. Roth IRA conversion, overly simplistically saying we're going to pay tax on the money once and we're never going to pay tax again. I also like life insurance because it's also an income tax, estate tax-free investment, and I particularly like it before December 31, 2012, while we still have the favorable rates. I also like to do flexible estate planning, particularly for families that have the same husband, the same kids, and I like to actually combine all of these modalities and all of these opportunities and see life insurance as one important opportunity. And David is
flashing me the finger.
And
not that finger.
So I will just conclude by thanking you, Tom, for being on the show and giving us some great information. And if anybody wants to listen to this again, it's this Sunday, and you can go to our website probably in a couple days, and we will hopefully have this show up and the transcript of it done.
Well, and thanks for listening to this edition of the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Thanks also to our program coordinator, Amanda Cassidy Schweinsberg, and Joe Finn, our in-studio producer. Thanks and for listening, and I'm David Baer.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Check out the show archives and listen on demand anytime at retiresecure.com. KQV listeners can receive free tickets to Jim Lang's Pittsburgh area workshops and more. Call the Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732. That's 412-521-2732. And reserve your seats and meet Jim Lang in person. Again, that's 412-521-2732.